Mike Max is joining me for the hour. So thankful to have you here, sir.
Good to be with you.
I love talking about our kids together because they're about the same age and they're friends.
Yeah.
And so that's fun.
We started a Spanish immersion together back in the day. What are the odds that we'd be at the same school?
I know.
The same time that you started working here.
That's right.
And I'm like, hey, you go here, you go here. Yeah.
And then like our kids are in the same class. And man, it's adorable.
Ian Leonard from Channel 9, his kids.
Right. His kids go there too. It's like old home day when we go to choir concerts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So now, of course, my oldest, a little bit older than your kids, is ready for college.
Yeah.
She's a junior. So we're talking about that. And in the news, you just heard college
admissions. Yeah, Lori Loughlin's still in it. Whoa.
So Felicity Huffman is already halfway through her 14-day sentence. And
so she's in an orange jumpsuit right now.
She's in an orange, in the slippers and the whole shebang. But Lori Loughlin pleaded, and Felicity Huffman pleaded guilty. She copped to it.
As quick as she could.
She said, I did wrong.
That was her strategy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It was a good strategy. Yes, she went to prison for 14 days. But hello, my friends. It's 14 days.
14 days.
You don't even ruin your manicure in 14 days.
No, Martha Stewart made it longer than that.
Thank you. She's fine.
Yeah.
Right? But Lori Loughlin did not plead guilty. She pleaded not guilty. And today in the news, we're just learning that she was also facing additional charges of bribery. I guess some internal, you know, college folks were being bribed.
So the agent comes here and says, I'll get this done for you. Then he probably comes back to you and says, okay, now you're going to have to, I can get you to the right people, but you're going to have to pay this guy and this guy and this guy.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of mafioso-like,
right?
So, okay, I'm going to introduce you to the football, not a football coach generally. These are usually the Olympic sports kind of. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, you know what? I got 15 tennis players. Only six of them are. I only need six, so I can get a 16th on. I'll just put them under scholarship. Just make sure I get my cut.
Exactly, and that's exactly what the new charges are. They allege the defendants. She is one of them. She is one of 11 defendants, and her husband conspired to commit federal bribery by paying off employees of the University of California to facilitate the children's admission. The coaches that were complicit.
So the agent guy finds the people that are. On the take, right, that want the money. Now, again, this gets into sports a little bit, but because I talk to coaches and stuff all the time, it is one thing that has struck me, particularly in college basketball, is how easy it is to buy a player.
Really?
Yeah, now that's going the other way, right? You're giving money to the player to come to your school.
Right.
Because I always say, I thought we were all over this stuff, so nobody could get. They said, no, here's what you do. The head coach goes to his guy, whoever his guy is that has the money, and he says, say, this player, he's interested in our school. That's code for you need to negotiate and see if you can get to a price. Now the head coach is done with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
His slush fund is set up. Mm-hmm. They know, and then they talk about delivering the bag. And that guy delivers the bag to that family, and the kid comes to that school. The coach technically has no knowledge of it, right? All he said was, you know, I really would like to get this kid, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, well, that's really easy to do, right? Try tracking that.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm trying to figure out the moral equivalency of that, because that player isn't taking anybody else's spot because they want him. That's
the opposite.
His spot.
He's really good, so they're willing
to
pay for him.
So it's a little bit different. As a random mother or
yeah,
father.
You're right, because in this case, the person's taking a spot of somebody that would be more qualified.
More deserving.
More deserving.
Exactly.
Has a higher ACT, with more, whatever it is,
exactly.
That kid gets into school.
And look, your situation is not good. It's shady. It's gross. It's wrong. But I think that it's not equal.
It's different. And the other thing that they do is they can figure out, you know, they're sophisticated enough, they can figure out what families. Does $100,000 mean a lot to, or $200,000 mean a lot to? Families, they don't need to, you know, we're good, you know. Yeah. I don't need in on that.
Well,
and it's easy to identify those families and figure that out, you know.
The reason we're talking about all of this, of course, is because I am at the cusp of the college admissions process. So my daughter and I met with a college coach last night who said, you know, their fee is $3,900, but they will help us through the process. Do a quiz to find out what she's interested in, what colleges are best for her. We'll narrow it down for her. We'll then see who's going to give us the most financial aid. We'll help the parents through the financial aid process. You know, we'll edit the kid's essay. Don't write the essay, but, you know, we'll edit the kid's essay and take a look at it. Then we'll, you know, write a letter after we get our financial aid to apply for more. So there's a lot of things along the way in the process that, look, it's my first time. I didn't know. She felt comfortable because somebody is very in the know about how to go about even searching for the right school for her. She has a wide range of, you know, she's an average student. I mean, above average student, wide range of things she might like to do. And it's hard to narrow everything down. So she felt like, yeah, I'd like a guide on this journey. I, as her mom, would like to not pay $3,900
correct
for this.
So, and that's kind of the nut to crack, right?
It might be worth it.
You can get me more than $3,900 in aid than I would have got on my own, then obviously it's a good investment.
Well, he probably can. And absolutely. Probably. So, of course, I put it out there to you, my dear listener. What was your experience? Did you do this? Did you use a guide that you paid, and did it help? 651-989-9226. Or no. Or do you say, you know what, do this on your own, Jor. I understand it's also like a full-time job sometimes, researching schools, going to visit schools, seeking out the financial aid, looking for the scholarships.
Yeah, you know, it has changed, too, compared to when we went to school. You know, you used to get in the mail, right, the brochure, and you'd look at the pictures of the campus.
Yes.
It was really cool. But now it's two buttons and you get the live video,
right?
What do you want to watch? What do you want to see? You're right there. I still think you have to be on the campus, though, to get a feel for it, because you can't explain how you feel till you step on a campus and you walk
around.
But
that's another thing. Great. I don't have all the money to tour
how many colleges are going to visit, right?
So we have to narrow it down to be judicious about it. So wait, you have a story about Harvard that I wanted you to tell.
So this is, and you can look it up, because I may be a little bit off on this, but it's I want to say, so if you qualify to get into Harvard, in other words, you apply, and whatever it is that you meet, they say, yes, you're accepted at Harvard, which would be the hardest part of this equation always, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you make, and it's a significant number, it's like $150,000 or less, your household income, you go for free.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the number is not small, because their endowment numbers are so big that they can almost give just about everybody a free education. And
what a great thing.
Yeah. So if it's like, it's not like if you make $50,000 or less, it's like, you know, a fairly livable, decent, it's a decent, you know, 175 or 150, whatever your household income is, but it's six figures for sure. And if you qualify, you go for free.
But also, great, you're making a nice living, but you can't necessarily afford the $60K a year that it would be to go to Harvard.
Correct. And so, but the power of, you know, over the years, the donors that they have,
yes,
the endowments that it creates.
Beautiful.
Then they got into a deal in the Ivy League, and I don't know if this still exists, where the Ivy League had decided whatever we offer athletically for a financial aid package, it gets matched by everybody else. So therefore, no one gets a recruiting advantage. Harvard said, screw you. If we want them, we'll give them for free. Because we got so much money. You know, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg gave back.
But you start talking
about billionaires here. That are given back to Harvard on a regular basis,
you know,
is different.
That. I love that, because there are a lot of kids that might make that grade.
That might make the grade. That
no way could they go any other way.
That's, you know,
right. No way could they go.
Yeah,
so, I'm just on the cusp of the journey. I will be taking you. And you responded big on Twitter, and I'm sorry that we didn't even get to them. Someone said, "What's a college coach?" This would have been helpful a couple of years ago. But I think I did all right. They went to Buffalo, right down the road from Syracuse, because I posted a picture of my alma mater. David, I'm sorry, what was that? Are you telling me to wrap it up? Oh, he's saying, Jor, wrap it up. My goodness. Okay, we are going to wrap it up, because we want to get to basketball right here on WCCO
sports,
Radio.
Yep.
We have the Timberwolves starting
tomorrow night. Yeah.
And you were
in
the
your
Vikings
hometown almost, Brooklyn, yeah.
Almost. Yeah. Mike and I will talk sports next.
Paul and Jordana.
It's 4:22. Jordana Green, DJ at the helm, and Mike Mack sitting next to me for only about 20 more minutes.
You know,
right,
people
sir?
Say this when they're a guest on the show. You know, when I bring them in on the show, and you realize it, because I'm more a guest in this particular setting than I am. It flies by.
It does go.
Yeah, it does. Doesn't that mean segment by segment, and it just flies by, and then it's over. But it's fun.
Well, I'm just get to ask you a lot of questions, because you're often the most interesting man in the room.
Not because I'm busy listening. Like I said, the Vikings today, and it was. You know, Mike Zimmer's in a good mood, and he's not always in a good mood.
No, he's kind of crabby.
He can be cranky. Yeah, I think by design, I think he lives in cranky.
Okay.
And cranky to him is, until we're perfect, I can't be happy.
Oh boy, okay? that's a high bar.
Yeah, it's a high bar, but that's what coaches are, right? And today he really does have a good personality. He's built by hard work. He believes there's no shortcuts. I enjoy my time around him. He's an outdoorsman. In addition to that, he grew up, his dad was a coach, et cetera. But it's every once in a while, he'll have a good day where he's having fun. And today he had one of those days where his quips and his little extra, you know, in the press
conference.
So was
it something that happened that made him in a good mood?
Well, they won. Well, okay. Yeah. It's real simple
so
in the NFL.
Still
yeah.
That
no, yeah, yeah. It's really, really simple. I'm sorry. What happened? Yeah, they won the last 3 weeks. That's why he's in a good mood. That's the only reason he's in a good mood. There is no other reason to be in a good mood if you're an NFL coach. If you win, you get to be in a good mood. Maybe. That's maybe, only 50-50, maybe, right. You know?
Okay.
But yeah, he was making fun of himself, et cetera. And that was just,
oh, well.
Yeah.
So you also, we can talk more about the Vikes, but the Timberwolves launch their season tomorrow
night. Yes, they launch it tomorrow.
Here on WCCO Radio.
Let me give you the 2-minute synopsis of what to look for.
You know, because we've been so wrapped up in the Twins and
yeah,
the Vikes
yeah.
and the
no
Gophers.
Question, yeah.
We've all of a sudden, the season is upon us.
Yep. So they made the changes. Gerson Rosas is now in charge mm-hmm. of the team. Well, my observation is this is Gerson Rosas' team. Make no mistake. Ryan Saunders is the coach and Gerson Rosas is the boss.
Wow.
I don't think it's even close.
Okay.
I think he tells Ryan what style they're going to run. I think he's been given full authority. I think he says, this is the way we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
These are the players I'm going to sign for you. This is how we're going to do it. And maybe Ryan will get more of a leash if he wins some, mm-hmm. et cetera, but I truly believe this is his show. So they sit down and they say, Carl Anthony Towns, you are now our designated leader. We're building the team around you. Not you and Wiggins, you. You're the man, okay? So I need you to be on board. So Towns goes down to the Bahamas, has the guys come down, let's practice in the summer. Mm-hmm. These are all kind of regular things you see from guys that are trying to become leaders. Okay. The big question is Carl Anthony Towns a leader? You can make him a leader. And, you know, I remember Lou Holtz told me once, he says he goes to Notre Dame and they make him the head coach, and the athletic director says, I can make you the head coach, but I can't make you the leader.
Right.
Okay.
So what's the answer to the question?
Is Towns a leader? And the answer is they don't know yet.
Oh.
In other words, who will follow him? I don't know. So they're going to play this pace. They're going to get up and down really quick and try to take a lot of shots. That's the whole concept. Conceptually, that's what they're trying to do. They just don't have players right now that can do that very well. So either they're going to have to learn it on the fly and grow, mm-hmm. or they're willing to do that for the sake of a different culture down the road
right.
and different
right.
players that want to come here and play. Either way, I think they're in trouble.
You know about leadership that mm-hmm. it's hard to make somebody a leader if they're
yep.
not. But leaders are also people interested in learning to be better leaders. So,
for sure.
Knowing Carl Anthony Towns' personality, what would you say then? Can he grow into a more leadership role?
That is a really good question. I think the answer is he can try. And I think the answer is, I don't know that the players around him are going to respond to him that way because they've had enough time with him so far. And it's not that they don't respect him, but I think they respect him as a great player.
And more as an equal.
And he gets numbers. He puts up numbers. His stat sheet is really good. You mm-hmm. can't deny that. But again, I've never felt like they looked to him and said, Carl, what should we do here?
Okay.
To this point,
okay.
You know? Now can he go, okay, if I'm the leader, then I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to sit down with guys. I'm going to spend more time with them because nobody's asked me to do this before.
Right.
You know, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? He goes, hey, that's not my job. They don't want me to do that.
Or maybe he's been hamstrung because maybe he's tried to, but he's been squashed from the top down. We know that happens in organizations.
And squashed by a guy named Jimmy Butler,
for
a little while.
There you go.
When Jimmy would go in and call him out in the locker room in front of people, that didn't do a lot for your, you know,
for your self-esteem.
And, yeah,
that's right.
And for the guys around you, if Jimmy's saying, hey, you need to be tougher
mm-hmm.
in front of everybody.
And maybe, right, but maybe Carl's leadership abilities are very different than Jimmy's. His tactics would be different.
So at the end of the day, I understand exactly what they're trying to do. They've got a point guard that I don't know, Jeff Teague, who I think is the key to this whole thing because he's really good in the last year of his contract, but he sure didn't show that he wanted to play last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was injured. One day they told us in the morning that he can't play tonight because his wrist is hurt. Then that night, somebody asked him, he said, yeah, I got the bad hamstring.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It was one of those things.
Get it together, boys.
Yeah. So at least know how you're lying on this, you know?
Get on the same page. That's
yeah,
right.
So he is, to me, the elixir and the key. And I don't know how engaged he is because, more inside stuff here, Jimmy Butler's the one that got Jeff Teague to the Timberwolves. He says, I want you guys to go get Teague. He's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they got Teague. Well, guess what? Jimmy Butler's gone. So now how does Teague feel about, you know, what's his brand loyalty to the Timberwolves? I don't know.
You don't know yet.
Well, I got an idea, but I don't know.
What about Adam Thielen? Is he going to play?
So Adam Thielen, it looks a lot better today.
Does it? Okay, but would you play him on Thursday? Don't you want to rest him?
It's a good question, but I think that they'll let the hamstring decide that as opposed to, you know, so if he feels really good. So I just talked to him just before I came in here. He's never had an injury like this before. And so he doesn't know how it's going to respond. But he did. He was in the walkthrough today. He was not at practice. But he certainly, and Mike Zimmer was certainly, encouraged by what they've seen so far. Okay. The only problem with the hamstring is you don't know until you go all out whether or not it's going to react. So that's the problem. But at some point in time, you always have to go all out to find out how your hamstring responds. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's easy to re-injure. Now, the other case that could be made is if he feels really good, let's say he tweaks it again. Well, now he's got 10 days off before they play again in Kansas City. So yeah, there's, you know, true. You could say that, too. Adrian Peterson coming to town, too, which is kind of interesting.
That's exciting. Yeah. What will the reception be?
He'll get some boos and some yays. And, you know, but the amazing part is, one, they lost all his money. and number two, that he's 34 years old and still playing at running back.
You know, and is he playing well?
He's playing pretty well. Yeah, I talked to him at the Super Bowl for a while, and he's always told me he's going to play till he's 40.
Yeah, wow.
And I laughed, you know. And he's not going to get to 40, but I'll tell you what, he 35 for a running back.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Wow. Now his physique is just pure chisel, you know. Mm-hmm. It's concrete. So that makes a big difference.
Mike Max, it was so fun to talk to you. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, anytime.
I know you got to scoot back to TV, but
I'll be back here at 6:30.
Back here at 6:30.
Ryan Hoag will be on with me.
Ron Shera.
Amir Abdullah, if we can track down Ron Shera in the winds of South Dakota. Pete Najarian will be with me. Kevin Lynch will be with me. Jeff Ferguson, Tatino Grace, Coach. Lots of good stuff.
Oh, boy. All right. Mike Max back here at 6:30. Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jar.
We'll be right back.
Paul and Jordana. Beyond the Headlines.
So David's going to do Beyond the Headlines with me. Do you have a roach problem in your house, David?
A roach? No. We did catch a few mice this fall, but no roaches.
Yeah, that's a problem. I worked, and before I read the story, when I lived in New York City after college for a while, it was so roach infested, as most apartments in New York City are. Like, you would open up one of the cabinets, and there were only like two cabinets in the kitchen, and it was covered with roaches. It was vile.
That's awful.
It's just a New York City problem, and it's... Anyway, not just New York City, of course, have cockroaches. There's amateur video of a guy from Brazil blowing up his lawn, trying to get rid of cockroaches in his backyard. The insects invaded his garden last week, and his wife was horrified by them. She begged him to get rid of them. So what he did, he used poisonous spray for killing beetles. He used the poisonous spray, but the product drove the cockroaches out of their burrow. After the first two attempts to smoke them out, he threw a match into the hole while his two dogs were looking at the scene. And it just exploded. The whole thing just exploded. And the match set fire to the whole lawn. The dogs, unfortunately, got thrown a little, but they were okay in the end. So, you know, it was the whole thing was brutal. There's terrific video of this guy. I mean, thank God nobody was hurt, except maybe a few cockroaches.
I did pour gasoline down a hole in my yard to smoke out some ground wasps one time.
How'd that go for you?
Well, nothing exploded, and the wasps are gone, but I might think twice before I try that again.
Yeah, bad choice.
Now, Jordana, there is in the Twin Cities a Cafe Meow, one of these cafes where you can go and there are cats that are available.
Yes.
You hang out with the cat while you have a cup of coffee. Have you been or would
no,
you go?
I haven't been, but I think when it opened, maybe we talked about it on the air. Just
sure.
The cats are just sort of meandering around and, you know, you get to go and chill with them.
So apparently in China, there is a new takeoff on this. There is a panda cafe that is raising eyebrows.
No.
This brand new location in Chengdu in the southwest of China, which is internationally known as the home of the giant panda, is offering the opportunity to snuggle with a panda while you enjoy your beverage or cafe.
Can't
well,
they
here's
rip
the deal.
Their head off?
They have it's the home to what appear to be six giant panda cubs, but wait for it. It turns out they are actually Chow Chow dogs, a breed of dogs that they dye to look like pandas.
Come on.
So it's actually dogs that you're petting. And look, I guess...
Do they look like pandas? Is there a picture of them on there?
Yes, there's a picture, and they do. They look like... I mean, to you and I that don't know a panda, like, it kind of looks like a panda. It's pretty close.
But it's like a puppy?
And, yeah, it's like a... It's a dog. It's a puppy, of one of these furry puppies, and they dye them up. Apparently an extensive dyeing process that takes... You know, almost $200 or over $200 every time they dye them. Here's the deal. I didn't know this, but apparently dyeing pets has become a full-blown craze in China over the last 10 years. People are doing this like extreme pet pampering, and one of the things they do is they dye their dog's fur or hair.
Like all of it or just like a pink highlight?
Well,
a little bit of everything.
I don't know. I mean,
well, they did ask me when I took my little one to the groomer last time if I wanted, you know, any highlights.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes. I said no.
Oh.
She's a white dog.
Okay.
So, I mean, some pink highlights might be kind of fun. No, I promise I won't do it. So there you go. I mean, at least they cop to it. They're just dogs.
Yes, they are just dogs, not real pandas. Although that kind of takes the fun out of it.
It does take the fun out of it, but pandas are mean.
Yes.
And they can take your head off with one swipe.
Yes. So,
and I guess the photo op is probably worth it if it looks like a panda.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. Overpriced cup of coffee is what it sounds like.
Honey. That's right. I guess the cats. We're going to stick with the cats here in the U.S. Moving on to rats. Apparently, they are smart little buggers. People do have pet rats. And they are smart. A new team led by a psychology professor at the University of Richmond has trained a few rats to drive cars. This is a real thing. I'm looking at a picture of them. I mean, it's not like a car. What it is, it's a modified clear plastic food container. Mm-hmm. And she added wheels and then three copper bars. It made a crude steering wheel. The professor says the rats very quickly became excellent drivers. I'm an excellent driver. Excellent driver. Now, depending on which of the copper bars the rat was touching, the little vehicles could be steered in that direction. They used breakfast cereal to act as rewards, and the rats were trained to drive their little rat mobiles around an arena to the treats. They not only proved to be adept drivers, they learned sophisticated maneuvers as they went along, but an analysis of their body chemistry reveals they found the driving lessons very relaxing. They relaxed as they were driving the cars. It's very soothing.
Don't you just see this turning into like the world's tiniest circus or something that's going to appear somewhere? And there's like all these tiny animals doing things and PETA's just, you know,
well, PETA
mad about
mad.
It.
But I'm looking at a picture of the little modified vehicle with the rat driving it, and it is pretty adorable. And I might pay money to see rats driving cars or like a rat race. Like
yes.
Absolutely.
A rat
on that.
Car race.
It's fantastic.
That's hilarious.
Kind of cute.
Jordana, do you ever order a Long Island iced tea when you're out drinking? Is that one of the things you'd enjoy?
I've been known to enjoy a Long Island iced tea.
Well, there you go. Apparently, one individual, this Leon Williams, ordered a Long Island iced tea at a Washington club last November, and he says something was wrong with it. Uh-oh. When he first drank it, he was, quote, like, man, this ain't right.
Uh-oh.
Here's what happened. Williams noticed that a bottle of Foam Bright condenser coil cleaner, a cleaning product used to clean heating and cooling systems, was behind the bar. The product is so strong that it's earned the terrifying nickname Yellow Death.
What?
So the bar's owner fessed up to it right away and said he accidentally put this Yellow Death condenser cleaner in Mr. Williams' Long Island iced tea.
So he had a bottle of cleaner behind the bar, and he mixed the drink with that?
Yes. Apparently, it's the kind of thing you'd use to clean, like, a condenser on, like, one of the refrigerators back there. And it happened to be on the bar, and he mixed the drink with this, quote-unquote, Yellow Death cleaner.
Did the dude get sick?
Well, apparently, he did not get sick. He spit it out right away and realized what it was and was okay, and the bar manager apologized to him.
That's frightening.
Isn't that terrible?
At least the guy, well, thank God the guy didn't get sick. That's horrible. He could have died.
Yeah, well, the city's alcohol and beverage board didn't think it was so funny. They fined the bar $90,000 and suspended their liquor license for 90 days.
What, you think?
Yeah.
My
And they
gosh.
Said they actually didn't do that because of the accident. They did it because they didn't file a report in the case, right? If something happens like that, I guess you're supposed to file. But anyway. Just be careful if you take a mouthful of Long Island iced tea and it doesn't stop.
Oh, my gosh. Iowa mayor who grew marijuana in her home gets probation because apparently in Iowa, pot is still not legal, at least recreationally. She's a former mayor. She grew marijuana in her Guthrie County home. She's avoiding prison time. Investigators found 18 marijuana plants on the property owned by the former mayor and her husband. Huppel was arrested on several charges, including possession of a controlled substance and intent to deliver. So it wasn't like, you know, she's growing the weed for herself. She's doing her own thing, you know, whatever. But I guess 18 plants I don't have a frame of reference for this because I never grew marijuana. But I guess 18 plants is a whole lot, and that means you're selling this stuff too. So this former mayor, seriously, okay, she took a plea deal. The court deferred judgment and gave her 2 years of probation. Husband received the same sentence earlier this month. But come on. You're the mayor.
Yeah.
You're the mayor. And look, whatever you do in your own home for your personal use, but come on, really, the mayor is your dealer? Come on.
Wouldn't somebody find out about that and call him in or something?
Apparently they did. Yeah,
that's wild. Look, well, you swore earlier on the show, Jordana, and I have a story coming up, and I'm going to try not to do the same and use the same word you used. But apparently, well, I'm not sure quite how to look at this story because I'll try to be delicate here. When you go out for a jog, sometimes maybe you've had coffee before you went out on the jog, things starting to loosen up, and you need to use the loo, if you will, while you're out jogging. Well, apparently, one woman was seen using the loo in some interesting spots, including in front of a school where she was caught on video.
On the street?
Between two parked cars.
Come on.
Holding her cell phone in her mouth while she relieves herself between two vehicles.
And that was the excuse. Well, I had my coffee. Couldn't run to a bathroom fast enough.
Well, here's the deal, though. So,
that's
terrible. But she has been berated so much online because of this incident that she has deleted all of her social media profiles because she was outed. People found out who she was. She was outed. She had to delete all these things. And a friend of hers says she's not doing well.
She must be humiliated.
Yes, she is. She's devastated by this. So I'm on both sides of this a little bit because, look, you shouldn't do that. Apparently, she ran right by a cafe that she could have used the bathroom of and didn't choose to use that. But she doesn't deserve to be, you know, berated online and shamed and things like that.
Especially if she wasn't feeling well.
Well,
because, look, we've all been in that situation where you need to use the bathroom right now and you can't wait any longer.
Yes.
And God help you if you're not near one, because that's a problem. So you're right. I mean, maybe she was having a medical problem.
Possibly. Now, there are some reports that this happened more than once.
Oh, boy.
So maybe it's a serial offense. And look, she could be subject to 3 months in prison or a $600 fine is the maximum for that.
Oh, come on. I don't think the woman needs to go to prison for pooping on the sidewalk.
Well, I don't think she needs to be, you know, berated online either. But we got to find a happy medium, I think.
And then, you know what? Maybe you want to strategically make your potty breaks along your jogging route.
Yeah. Or get a treadmill or something. Look, I did the whole thing without swearing.
I'm really impressed with you. We'll stick with the poop words. 452, Jordana Green here. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Paul Douglas is out sick. Me and DJ had Mike Max in a little while ago. So David and I will take you through the next hour. At 5:35, we're going to talk about the food rules that adults love to break. What are you still eating as an adult that as a kid, mama either monitored or you weren't allowed to do, you know, spoiling your dinner, eating late at night, dinner for breakfast or breakfast for dinner? What was your thing? Mine is Reese's Puff cereal. I eat sugar cereals all the time, and I love them. So I put it out on Twitter, at JordanaWCCO. Post away there, and we will talk about that at 5:35. Now, did you know that you can listen to this show on radio.com? In fact, maybe you're listening on radio.com right now. But the best part about listening on radio.com is this new feature that we have where it's like TiVo for radio. How does it work, David?
Well, yeah, the first thing you want to do is
download radio.com.
Yeah, get our radio.com app. You can go to our website, obviously, and click through radio.com. But look, the best way is get it on your phone, get radio.com app on your phone, search WCCO. But once you get there to our show or any other show here on CCO or any of the shows you can find there, they just launched a new feature where, you know, look, mostly you're listening to us right now. You're listening live. But there's a new feature where you can go back. You can skip to the beginning of an interview or the beginning of the show.
Like the part I cursed at.
Or pause or rewind live radio, which I think the curse maybe did go on the stream. I think that's how that works. So
snap. If
you wanted, you could rewind and hear what word Jordana said. But it's like TiVo for your radio. But it's super valuable if you get to the middle of a segment and you go, man, I really wish I would have heard Mike Max, you know, the beginning of this conversation about when Mike Max talks about his kids vaping or whatever we're talking about.
Mike Max's kids don't vape, but, you know, it was a conversation.
You can skip right to the beginning of that or rewind and then jump back to live just like you would on your TV. So it's a neat new feature that once you think about it, you go, well, duh, of course we should have that. And now we do, and it's fantastic.
I listen to a ton of podcasts, and none of the podcasts have this feature because if you look at it on radio.com, and DJ and I were playing around with it earlier today, it's segmented out, literally, like when the show starts or the last half hour. So you know, you just by visual, you can look at it and say, all right, I'm going to start here. You don't have to scroll through like a podcast.
Yeah, and we hope that you know, if you miss part of our show, you know, you can go back and podcast our show. You can go to radio WCCRadio.com or podcast section of radio.com app. But if you want to just jump back and hear something we just did a few minutes ago, you don't have to go get the podcast. You can just grab it, you know, in live, quote unquote, action, and then jump back to live when you're ready.
That's one of the things when I'm listening, I just tune in and I hear an interview. I'm like, who are they talking to? Mm-hmm. Who are they talking? I want to know who they're talking. So, and sometimes the interviewer's in the middle of the interview, so they don't get to say the name again right away. So this is a perfect solution to that problem.
Absolutely.
Smart folks at radio.com. Mm-hmm. Smart folks. So make sure you download it. Absolutely. So this is, we have about a minute left. This segment kind of goes along with what we're talking about with vaping. U.S. has endorsed tobacco pouches as less risky than cigarettes. Really? Really? Really, FDA? We're going to endorse any kind of tobacco as less risky? Have we not learned our lesson with the vaping? All right, get this. This is the first time U.S. health regulators have endorsed a brand of tobacco pouches as less harmful than cigarettes. This is a decision they say that could open the door to other less risky options for smokers. I thought that's what vaping was supposed to be, and now people are dying. All right, this came out Tuesday from the FDA, the government's first backing of a so-called reduced-risk tobacco product. It's called Swedish Match. The Swedish Match pouches, the FDA says, they're not safe. They're just less harmful than all other tobacco products. Great, so they're not safe, so don't use it, but they're less harmful. The pouches will still bear mandatory government warnings that they can cause mouth cancer, gum disease, and tooth loss. Users stick teabag-like pouches between their cheek and gum to absorb the nicotine. Unlike regular chewing tobacco, the liquid from the, what's the word? Is it snus, S-N-U-S, snus, snuff? I don't know. Is generally swallowed rather than spitting it out. Chewing tobacco is fermented. The snus goes through a steamed pasteurization. Well, the Swedish Match sells its snus under the brand name General in mint, wintergreen, and flavors. I'm not advertising for this at all. I'm just saying I can't believe that the U.S. health regulators have endorsed a brand of tobacco pouches as less harmful than cigarettes. How about, FDA, you stop being such a patsy for the tobacco industry and these lobbyists and just come right out and say, great, there's this patch, but it's still not safe. Let's talk more when we get back.
Paul and Jordana.